Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Nice to see everybody. It was a rather smoky ride up the gorge today. The east wind started blowing again, and all the fires we have in eastern Oregon and across the river and Mount Adams, they're all blowing down this way, and it was a rather smoky drive. I was telling my wife, I've lived in Oregon my whole life. I've never experienced a year like this. Everything is several weeks early. They're picking pears in the Hood River right now, which they normally pick in the middle of September or the 10th of September. So it's been really different, and especially the temperatures. We've had almost 30 days of 90 degree temperatures, which is just unheard of. I told my wife, now if you watch, probably in about a month or two from now, it'll start raining and it'll never stop. But we do need the rain, so that wouldn't be a bad thing, but hopefully we don't get it all at once. I'd like to welcome everybody on the webcast that are tuning in. It is a beautiful Sabbath day, and welcome to services here today. You know, some years ago, Mr. Armstrong wrote a book called The Seven Laws of Success. One of those seven laws of success in life from the book was perseverance. The definition of perseverance is to persist in anything undertaken, maintain a purpose in spite of obstacles, difficulties, or discouragement, continue steadfastly, or one could say stick with something, not giving up, to hang in there no matter what. You know, there are some interesting stories about persistence. It was said Henry Ford's early businesses failed and left him broke five times before he founded the Ford Motor Company. Walt Disney went bankrupt after failing at several businesses. He was even fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination and good ideas. Can you imagine that? Albert Einstein was thought to be mentally handicapped before changing the face of modern physics and winning the Nobel Prize. It took Thomas Edison 1,000 attempts before inventing the light bulb. That's persistence. He stuck with it. His teachers also told him growing up that he was too stupid to learn anything. Dr. Seuss' first book was rejected by 27 publishers before it was accepted. But he stuck with it. American author Jack London received 600 rejections before his first story was accepted. That's amazing. That's really shows his persistence. And this last one I get a laugh at. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team for not being good enough. I mean, we know the rest of the story about Michael. You know, brethren, we as Christians called at this time, are on a journey to God's kingdom. We will be tested with trials and tribulations. I know many of us have been through trials and tribulations already, and there will be more as our lives go on. Will we stand up and go through those trials with a persistent determination to overcome and become children in the family of God? How persistent are we to stay on the narrow path that leads to God's kingdom? How persistent are we at overcoming and finishing the race we are in to be in God's kingdom? How persistent are we in prayer and Bible study? How persistent are we in producing fruits of the Spirit? Persistence is a valuable attribute to have as we endure to the end. Let us explore the value of being persistent in light of God's word. Let us first lay the foundation that faith plays concerning a Christian's perseverance. Let's turn now to Romans 5. Romans 5, and we'll read through 1 through 4. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. We all realize that at times our faith is tested by trials and tribulations. And as we go through those times, we persevere because of our faith. We persevere and hold on and endure to the end because of the hope that lies within us. We do not give up. You know, I remember some years ago, someone sent me a poster, and it showed this crane bird, and he was trying to swallow a frog, and this frog was holding on. He was halfway down the crane's mouth, but he was holding on. And then the caption was, "Don't ever give up." And I think I put it on my refrigerator for a while because I thought, you know, that says a lot. Don't give up. Many times our faith is measured by our persistence. Does God look at our persistence as a measure of our faith? Let's look at some examples in the Bible. Let's turn over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. It here. Matthew 15. Let's see. And verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" So she's talking to Christ, asking that, you know, that he would have mercy on them. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" You know, the first inclination when someone, if you ask someone a question, they don't give you an answer, is kind of like, okay, maybe you don't think too highly of the person, maybe, and you might just walk away and think, well, this person's really not interested, you know, okay, I'm walking off. But she didn't do that. But Christ said, "But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And asked him again, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" You know, she could have walked off after that, just saying to herself, you know, "I'm not going to get any help here. I can see that. I'm going to walk off." But she was persistent. And the reason she wanted her daughter healed. And that's a terrible thing if you think about having a daughter that had a demon. And then she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith." She was persistent. "Let it be to you as you desire." This lady had persistence, and it was measured to her as having great faith. She didn't give up. She didn't just walk away. And Christ saw that in her. Let's turn over now to Luke 11. Luke 11. Luke 11 and 5 through 9. And he said to them, this is Christ speaking, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on the journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you.'" If someone came to your house at midnight, would you be real happy if they were asking for some bread? Probably not. You're probably going to be kind of upset and wanting to send them away. Wondering, what is he doing here at midnight? You know, can he come earlier? I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. If he's persistently out there asking for bread, you know, after a while you're thinking, I want to get some sleep. I'm going to go down and give him his bread. But this, it's the persistence. In verse 9 it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And we have to do this when we go to prayer to God. We have to be very persistent in our prayers. Not just asking once, but maybe many, many times. When people ask for us to pray for them, do we only do it just one time and then not think about it anymore? We should be persistent in our prayers. I remember, it's been a while ago, but Mr. Register found out that he found out he had cancer, and it was on his skin. And he told a friend about it, and this friend told him, he said, you know what? I'm going to pray for you that you're healed, and I'm not going to let go of God until you're healed. And Mr. Register thought about that, and he thought, boy, I'm glad he's praying for me, because he's not going to give up praying. And I think that's where we should be, very persistent. And then verse 10, it says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You know, when you go to someone's door and you want them to come to the door, how do you knock? Is it? Or do you, if you really want someone to come to the door, you know, you're not pretty loud. And then you just quit? No, maybe he's in there watching TV or in the back room or something. You know, you might knock 3 or 4 times. And that's what God is saying to us. You know, we have to come to him seeking and knocking and be persistent in our prayers when we come to him. Asking, knocking, and seeking is an expression of our faith. In verse 10, Jesus gives us a positive answer to those that persist in asking, knocking, and seeking. Our lives as Christians will be fuller and richer if we are persistent in seeking the kingdom of God, not giving up. Let's look at another example that Jesus shows us about prayer and being persistent. Let's turn over to Luke 18, 1 through 8. Luke 18, 1 through 8, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And this judge wasn't like God, you know. He didn't have the same qualities that God has, the mercy. But anyways, this woman has gone to him. In verse 4 it says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Here we see that persistence and faith, that persistence is a measure of our faith. Here again, faith is measured by our persistence in coming to God in prayer. Not losing hope or giving up, but being persistent in our prayers and revealing to God our steadfast faith in him. We do not ever want to give up and lose hope. I think it is interesting that Jesus asks the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Let's turn now to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And verse 24. This is an interesting account. And it's about Jacob. And we know quite a bit about Jacob. Jacob as a youth was a rather cunning, taking away his brother Esau's birthright and also being deceitful and taking away Esau's blessing that was due him. At this point in his life, he is heeding God's instructions to leave Laban, who deceitfully used him and actually over 20 years helped Jacob to rely less on himself and have more faith in God. Jacob was well aware of the blessings that were promised to Abraham and the importance of those blessings in his life. Anyways, let's read the account. In verse 24, it says, and this is at nighttime, it was dark. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. We know that man was Jesus Christ. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I've seen people that have been in sporting events and dislocate their shoulders or their hips or whatever, and it's a very painful thing. To think of having that done to you and not letting go and keeping on wrestling, it's unbelievable. Jacob was a very strong man. He was a fit man. You know, it's interesting. Well, let's read verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He wanted that blessing, and he was persevering. And I think the reason God wrestled with Jacob was to find out, see if he would persevere. What kind of perseverance he had, what kind of faith he had in asking for that blessing. But in verse 27, he said, "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.'" I don't know how many of you out there have ever wrestled much, but I wrestled a lot in my lifetime when I was younger because I had two older brothers. And one of them was pretty close to me, and he was quite a bit stronger than me and bigger than me. And he would get me down and wrestle with me, and it seemed like the more he would beat me, the more I wanted to beat him. But it just didn't work out that way. But I remember when I was a senior in high school, I was on the varsity basketball team, and they had a boys' assembly, and they asked if anyone wanted to wrestle against one of the varsity wrestlers. And I don't know why I decided to do it. I wasn't thinking, I don't think. But I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll be one of them. And so the match started in front of all the boys in our high school. We had about 3,800 kids in our school. And I'm on this mat, and I'm thinking, why did I do this? But I started wrestling this individual, and I did great for the first round. I thought, you know, I think I can take this guy. But it was three rounds. By the second round, I was totally out of gas. I didn't have anything left in me, and I was just holding on a little bit, I guess like Jacob was. But wrestling really takes all of your energy. And for Jacob to have wrestled all night, he must have been very fit and very persistent to do that, because it really drains your energy. So why did Christ wrestle with Jacob? Was he testing Jacob's persistence? Was this a measurement of his faith and acknowledgement of how valued the blessing of God are? Brethren, we too should have the resolve of Jacob and never let go of the promises of God. Jacob knew the blessings that were going to come through Abraham and through him, and he wanted that blessing. We should be persistent, pressing forward to our goal, the kingdom of God. We are not earning our salvation. Salvation is a free gift. We know that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ allows us to have the opportunity to have eternal life. But we, with the power of the Holy Spirit, must overcome and endure to the end. This takes perseverance on our part, which is a measurement of our faith. Jesus Christ testifies to the fact that some will fall away after they are called. You know, many of us that have been in the church for a long time, we've seen many people fall away. And it's a terrible thing when you see that, but it's just the truth that has happened over the years in God's church. Some have fallen away. Let's turn over now to Matthew 13:18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. This individual is not persistent in seeking the kingdom of God. Trials and tribulations come. Let's read the rest of that verse. It says, but he endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. How many of us, when we first came into the church, had to go through trials and tribulation over God's word? I remember my wife and I never thought it would come from that direction, but when a lot of the relatives found out we weren't going to keep Christmas anymore, boy, everything went through the roof. I couldn't believe it. It was just a real trial for my wife and I. And I remember us going down to Portland to talk to the minister about it. But we persevered and we made it through it. And in the end, they came around to realizing that we weren't going to change, that we were going to, and we were able to still be friends and close to them. But it was a trial. But there's all kinds of trials that come up when we're first called into the church, and they're different for all of us. But in verse 22 it says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And then verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And these individuals they have persistence. They're not going to give up. Like I said, over the past years I have been in the church, I've seen many people leave their calling. God gives us a free will to either persevere to the end or give up on our calling. Only God can judge the hearts of men. God is positive about our calling and will never give up on us. Let's turn to Philippians 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God will never give up on us. We can only give up on him and follow in his way of life. And we never want to do that. We never want to give up. Let's turn now to Matthew 22:14. There's a verse in there that says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know, God calls many people, but few are chosen. Those that are chosen are those that persevere and endure to the end. They are the ones that are producing spiritual fruits by the Holy Spirit. They are the ones that are not giving up. They are the ones who have a living faith in God. Let's turn now to Luke 5:18. There's another interesting story that shows perseverance here in Luke 5. Let's see, Luke 5:18. And then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Christ. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down. Before I go on, can you imagine? They couldn't get to Christ of taking a man up on a rooftop on a bed. How difficult that would have been. Sometimes just getting on a roof by yourself is difficult. But they had persevered and had faith, and they went up on that roof. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's marvelous that they would do that. I'm sure it wasn't an easy task. And then it says, and led him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Can you imagine the faith these men had? They took the tile away. And all of a sudden, you know, Christ is in this room, and all of a sudden he sees these people lowering a bed down. Can you imagine what that... I think Jesus Christ was very astonished, and we'll go on. And it says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And he was healed. But I think that it just shows how persistent we need to be, and it's a measure of our faith. These men, by their persistence, found a way to come before Jesus. They showed the measure of their faith, and Jesus healed the man. You know, Napoleon Hill, who worked for Dale Carnegie, writing books and doing research, he said, there may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of a man what carbon is to steel. Carbon makes steel strong. I would now like to give 4 points on how we can become more persistent in overcoming and becoming like Jesus Christ on our journey to God's kingdom. The first one is, ask God to increase our faith. Brethren, it is by God's power and might that we must rely on to fight our battles in overcoming and to guide and keep us as we press ahead. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to study our Bibles and live by these words. We need to pray and ask for wisdom and discernment as we navigate through this life. Our faith gives us a proper vision of what we are persevering for. God, through the holy days and Sabbath, reveal God's plan of salvation and our part in it. The truth of God is more precious than gold and inspires us to be zealous and persistent in being proper Christians and producing the fruits of the Spirit. The second one is, do not let failures or sin overcome you. We all have sin, and at times we all have failures. Let's turn over to 1 John 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We all have sinned, brethren. When we stumble and fall at times, we need to pick ourselves up, repent, and ask God for forgiveness. We must be persistent in overcoming and not allowing failures and sin to hold us down. We should learn from our failures and sins and realize and persist in changing. We should have a positive mindset and not let dark clouds hang over our heads. Taking on a depressed, negative attitude leads to being a prisoner to sin and failures. Let's turn over now to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 and verse 10. And here in this psalm, David is asking God for forgiveness. We know that he murdered Uriah the Hittite. We know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba and very grievous sins. In verse 10, Psalms 51 and verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit." And we see David repented. He suffered for his sins. His son died because of his sins. And other things happened to him. And there is a penalty for sin. But he had repentance in his heart. And God did forgive him. And we know someday in God's kingdom, he will be king over all Israel. So we never want to give up if we sin or have a failure on occasion. We need to repent, come before God, and ask for forgiveness. Don't give up. Isaiah 1:18. Let's turn over there now. It says something about God's forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And here we see God is a forgiving God, and he does forgive our sins and wash them away. If we have true repentance, God will forgive our sins. Do not ever give up on yourself or on God. Persevere to the end. The third one is, do not become entangled in the world. If we allow ourselves to be drawn into the world, we allow distractions and pulls to make us weak spiritually. God, in the persistent pursuit of the kingdom of God will take a back seat. I can't tell you how many people I've known over the years that become over-involved in the world, and it seems like, you know, this goes on for a period of time, and things, they draw further and further away from God, and eventually they give up, they leave the church. But we have to be careful of that. We should give God our very best, our time. We also open ourselves up to Satan and sin in the world when we go back into the world. Let's turn to 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Seeking first the kingdom of God allows us to strengthen our persistence and focus on those things that make us endure to the end and not give up. Like I said before, God should get our very best. Sometimes we should take inventory on what we give our time to. Number four, another thing that can strengthen our persistence is to put into practice what we believe in. Live by every word of God and produce fruits of the Spirit. Show by our good works that we are the children of God. Over time, as we do this, we start to develop godly character. We learn how to work through trials and persist to the end and become spiritually fit. You know, the more trials that we can make it through, the fitter we are as Christians, the stronger we are. Much like those that run in a race, we have to be fit. Or someone that's wrestling, you have to be fit. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 9:24. And we've probably all read this many, many times. But it says, and Paul's talking here, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Be persistent. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Producing character and transforming into the likeness of Jesus Christ is a lifetime of choosing the right over the wrong and making the right decisions in our lives that reflect God's way of life. The more spiritually strong we are as Christians, the more persistent we will be at making sure that we will endure to the end." Let's turn over to 1 John 5 now. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And that's what we need to do, brethren, is overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" John here is showing faith and works go together. You know, some years ago, there were people that were trying to separate faith and works. Now, you can't do that. James said, "I will show you my faith by my works." They are not one or the other. Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the love of the Father has made it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit and receive the seed that will ultimately allow us to be born into the family of God, children of God. This will all take place if we are faithful and persist to the end, never letting go of the wonderful promises of God and their fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Our persistence in pursuit of that calling reveals our faith. Let us never give up. Let us never give up.